CX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Reports of multiple police officers shot in York County, Pennsylvania, about an hour outside of Lancaster near the Maryland state line. At least three officers dead, two others hurt. State Police Colonel Christopher Paris.
I can confirm that the shooter is dead.
Law enforcement officials telling ABC News police were serving a warrant when the gunman opened fire. FBI Director Kash Patel back on Capitol Hill today. Lawmakers on both sides of the aisle challenging him to committing to release the Epstein files. And also on the Hill today, the fired head of the CDC testifying about her dismissal. Susan Menares said she was ousted because she rejected pressure to, quote, be on board with forthcoming childhood vaccine recommendations.
I could have kept the office, the title, but I would have lost the one thing that cannot be replaced, my integrity.
It was just what Wall Street was banking on. The Fed cutting its key interest rate by a quarter of a point today and projecting two more cuts before the end of the year. This is ABC News. New Jersey has become the 14th state to allow the composting of human bodies as an alternative to burial or cremation. Natural organic reduction involves putting a body into a large tank that holds straw, wood chips, and natural materials that's mixed with warm air and turned until reduced to a soil-like material that can be given to a dead person's family. Passengers flying into San Francisco International Airport will soon have another transportation option, a driverless taxi. Waymo's gotten approval to test its vehicles around the airport.
I can't wait to use them.
You know, I think it'll end up taking out all the Lyft and Uber drivers and then also the taxi drivers, so kind of a whole industry. But at the same time, they're a lot safer and everything, so I see pros and cons to it.
Waymo will have to pass two phases before the public can jump in. A New York advisory committee voted down a bid to bring a Caesars Palace casino to Times Square. The proposal was backed by Jay-Z, but it ran into fierce opposition from Broadway theater owners and producers. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 92.7 WMDX, Madison's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
The magic number is 7. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers host the LA Angels again tonight. Last night, the crew with a 9-2 win. Christian Yelich, a two-run homer in the fourth. Now, 7 is the Brewers' magic number to clinch the division, but Yelly says it's still too early for all that right now.
Yeah, I mean, we just need to focus on winning that night, like not even thinking about like the magic number. We need to just keep stacking wins and playing good baseball, and that'll take care of itself. You can't do that in one night. And you start looking ahead, then things can get away from you a little bit.
College football, the Badgers, getting ready to host Maryland Saturday at Camp Randall, kickoff 11 a.m. NFL, Packers wide receiver Jaden Reed confirming he's now had surgery to repair his broken collarbone and foot fracture. Meanwhile, Christian Watson says his new contract extension takes some pressure off as he tries to come back from that torn ACL.
For me, I mean, it was really just to, you know, take that pressure off of myself so I can kind of just go out there when I get back and just play free.
That's Packers wide receiver Christian Watson with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 92.7 WMDX.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, isolated storms tonight and a low in the low 60s. Partly sunny for tomorrow, still the chance of rain, high in the mid 80s. More storms around Friday, high upper 70s. Rain chances continue into the weekend.
Right now it's 80.
This week, we sit down with Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski, and she talks about her run for lieutenant governor.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Talk about overall mental health, how we cope with this nonstop, overwhelming news. Tom, thanks for calling. What say you?
Nobody can do push-ups indefinitely, but bring this back to mental health, and suddenly we feel able to pound through this without taking any kind of a break. And it's just not the way that it works. So do any action that takes you away from whatever it is that you're stressing out. Go for a walk. Get a drink of water. Read a book.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
92.7 WMDX, helping to keep Madison weird.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who appreciates a nice hot meal at a fair price, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. Ladies and gentlemen, we are kicking off Act 2 here on this scorcher of a Wednesday night. I bet it's still 80 degrees out, Conrad.
Yeah, it's, you know, I'm happy for just one last week of warm weather, and then I'm guessing it's going to get cold again next week, but no. Yeah,
we'll see what happens. We're having a lot of fun tonight, folks. Mike McGill is here. He is an Appleton native who has been doing some great things out in Hollywood. He's got some great credits. We're going to talk to him about Shameless in just a few minutes. He did many, many episodes of Shameless. Our question of the night is, who is the best pro athlete turned actor or actress? And Conrad, I don't know if you saw this text. Your dad had a great one. And I'm going to try to find it right now, but you could probably find it faster than I can because...
Well, yeah, I already know what he was going to... What he's going to say.
Did he tell you ahead of time?
No, I know what he
just
would
know
say.
Your dad?
Yeah.
All right. So Steve from Florida says, hands down, athlete turned actor, all around personality, Bob Uecker.
Yep.
Again, I didn't even think of Bob Uecker. He could have played any character if Hollywood gave him a chance. But as we all know, he was kept back in the back row. I agree with you for the most. Let me get Mike McGill's take on this. I don't know. Bob Uecker in a serious role, like doing a love scene? He would have made it funny, I guess.
I would pay money for that. Absolutely.
I'm with you.
Take my money, Bob.
Absolutely.
Wasn't Jason Statham, he was like an Olympic swimmer or something, wasn't he, before he became an actor? He's had a pretty good, nice career, too, actually.
Oh, man.
There's a handful of them.
Yeah. I've seen his name in some of the texts I have to get to. I've seen Jason Statham's name in there a couple times, and I don't know what he did, but yeah, he obviously was, and I think he was in a professional martial artist.
You know, the native Wisconsinite in me is going to put Uecker above Statham no matter what, so.
And I didn't mean martial artists like karate. I mean, he drew pictures of marshals. He was very good at it, Mike. He had a very good career.
Somebody has to do it. Right?
Drawing sheriffs. All right. My guest at the moment is Mike McGill. We've got a few more minutes with Mike. As I mentioned, he grew up in Appleton, and you've probably seen his work if you've watched the show Shameless. You were on pretty much like the run of the show, right, Mike?
Yeah, they hired me. My first episode was the second episode of the first season. So they shot the pilot, and then they brought me in right after that. And you know, the idea was it was going to be, they called it a recurring co-star. And they would dangle that carrot so many times, and you'd think, oh, I'm going to do another episode. And then I'd always do like a one episode and then never get hired again. So I did the second episode of Shameless the first season, and then they didn't bring me back until later that first season, like maybe episode 8. So, you know, episode 3, 4, 5, 6 goes by, and I thought, well, I guess it's another one and done. But thankfully, somebody in the writer's room remembered me, and they started bringing me back in towards the end of the first season. So,
you did like 100 episodes or something like that. And I can hear it. You're such a humble guy. You have that Wisconsin kind of Midwest, You know, as an actor, Mike, what did, and you probably get this question a lot, and I think people are great everywhere, but I only know people from where I've lived, like Chicago, Wisconsin, sure. A little bit in LA. And my first instinct is to say, oh, he's such a humble guy. He's so Wisconsin. But did growing up in Appleton give you a point of view or make you bring certain tendencies to your acting or give you a perspective?
I think it's just, it's just how you're raised, where we were raised and the place where we were raised. You just have you bring a blue collar work ethic to it. And that's something that a lot of people, out on the West Coast, they're born with kind of a sense of entitlement. And I'm like, let's roll our sleeves up and get to work, man. Let's get it done.
Yeah.
So, it served me well, obviously, for the John Wells shows that were based in Chicago, being from the Midwest. But, it certainly helped me, I think, in my career, book jobs, knowing that I'm like, okay, this isn't going to be handed to me. I gotta do the work. And at the end of the day, you want it to feel natural. You want it to be like, oh God, I can tell this guy's acting,
Right.
So that's what you're going for. So luckily for me, being a drunk barfly wasn't too much of a stretch. So I had lots of practice growing up in Wisconsin.
Absolutely. So what do you prefer, Mike, when it comes to acting roles? Like, do you like big studio films or independent films? Do you feel there's more freedom with independent films, or is it all about the director and what the director's after?
I just like to work, period. If you get a big studio film, you got more money to play with, obviously. But you also, then you have 50 people that, 50 people that have to sign off on everything. Whereas if you're doing an indie film, like when you guys were probably doing your film, you were the boss and you had final say, and that was it. And that gives you a nice kind of freedom too. So,
right.
If you can find a happy medium, that's why I think a lot of these guys, a lot of guys that are kind of in the pole position, they'll do a studio film or two, and then they'll run off and do a passion project or a little low budget indie film that where they can stretch a little bit and maybe play a role that they wouldn't get to do if within the studio system.
Yeah.
I don't have that problem because the studio and quite frankly, even the indie film circuit isn't calling by name. So I'm just happy to get a gig in there anyway. Give me a paycheck.
It's so hard because so few times in your career in this business, unless you're uber successful, do you ever have FU money? And then maybe the couple times you find you have it, there's no one to say FU to. It's like the timing never works out, right?
Take a look in the mirror and say FU to yourself.
Mike, again, I hear the humbleness and all that, but is there, and I know you like to work, and I love when actors say that, I think when we're younger, I remember when I was a stand-up comic and I was jaded already at 24 and thinking I knew everything, and you really have, you know anything. So you get to a point where you appreciate the work, and it's like, man, if we can figure out a way to fool people and tell, make a living at this, it's great. You've won the lottery. But are there roles, having said that, where your agent or your reps will call you and go, hey, you're going to read for this? What role would you not want that to be? Are there roles you try to steer clear of?
At this point, not right now, currently, no. I'll take anything honestly, I can't think of anything off the top. But I'm smart enough to know at this point I'm not going to get a part that's where I'm going to be the love interest or the lead or like that. I'm a character actor and I would love to find a role that suits my personality and gruff but lovable and makes the audience laugh or gets the audience to connect with the audience at some point. But there's very few. I remember getting an audition one time where it was just it was some freaky thing where this guy, I won't get into the particulars for your audience, but it was like, this guy kind of sounds like he belongs in an insane asylum or, not Arkham Asylum, not on the movie screen. So, but very few things offend me, but over the run of Shameless, And I would tell people, like, okay, look, if you've never seen the show, I'm going to tell you right now, it lives up to its title. So, you know, even sometimes we get those scripts and I'm like, oh, man, somebody's going to have a problem with this, you know. But for Bill Macy, I was like, oh, my God, what a great role for an actor to play. You know, I mean, it's just like whenever anybody asks me, like, who's your favorite character on Simpsons, there's no hesitation, Frank. I mean, it's just the stuff they gave him to do. And he was so good, you know?
He was great.
You know, part of me, I was like, man, I can't believe I'm getting paid to have a front row seat to watch him be Frank Gallagher, you know? Honestly.
It's funny. You were talking about how the title of the show is appropriate. My daughter was watching Shameless when she was like a sophomore in high school, before I knew what it was. And I'm like, she's like, Dad, you want to watch one of these with me? I'm like, yeah, sure. And I'm like, how long have you been watching this? She's like a couple years. I'm like, oh, my God.
Sometimes people be like, oh, you know, so-and-so's a big fan. They want to meet you. And I come over, and it's like middle schooler. And I'm thinking,
Mike, before we let you go, what are some places you like to visit when you come back to how often do you get back here? And where do you have places like we used to always say, well, we're going to Leon's in Oshkosh. We're going to this place in Milwaukee.
I'll definitely Leon's. If I'm in town, I'll definitely hit Leon's. Mim's Charcoal Grill in Manassas.
Oh, yeah.
Any Tom's Drive-In, you know, that reminds me of my youth. JD's Drive-In, which is right by Appleton East. Frank's Pizza on College Avenue, which is now Pieri Pizza. And then they have Cranky Pat's in Oshkosh. It's like the same recipe of pizza that was always after we do the pub crawl on College Avenue, we'd always end up at Frank's Pizza at the end of the night. That was definitely one of our big hangouts when I was growing up. But Leon's for sure.
Yeah.
Mike. And honestly, you know how it is living on the West Coast. Like, you can't find – it's a hard target search to find any cheese curds out here whatsoever. Oh, yeah. You go back home, and you can go to any Quick Trip. You can go anywhere. They're like, dropping off trees, and they're great, and they're fresh, but they are, like, a hot commodity out here. You can't get them.
In Wisconsin, our gas station cheese curds are better than what you would find, for sure.
To die for.
Mike – LA's gain is Appleton's loss, but I'm glad you spent this time with us. I can't wait to have you back on again, and I can't wait to see what you do next, buddy. It's been great having you on the show and great getting to know you.
Thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate it.
You got it. That is Michael Patrick McGill. Check him out in Shameless, on Bosch. On The Office is Kenny Anderson. We didn't get to that. We'll do that next time. But great guy. Well, it was fun to have Mike on. Greg Schwemm is coming up in just a few minutes. He is a syndicated columnist, and he writes for his own column, The Humor Hotel, on Tribune Media Services. We're going to tell you about a really cool event coming up to help fight cancer. That's coming up at 7:20. How are we doing on text, Conrad?
We got some text to read.
All right, let's get some of these done. Your dad said...
Bob Uecker.
And Mike McGill said, I'd love to see Uke do a love scene. So I don't know if I agree with him there, but everything else he said, I pretty much agreed with. Monica in Mount Horeb, she's in the 608, says, Travis Kelce did a respectable job in Grotesquery.
Yeah, I believe that is.
Was that one a movie? I didn't see
it's
that.
It was like a zombie show, I think, or vampires or something.
Sounds like a good Travis Kelce vehicle. But she says, but Bob Uecker. So that's her first choice too. Another vote for Uecker, which is great. Edward in the 414 says, not sure if he counts as an athlete, but Sean Connery placed third in the 1953 Mr. Universe contest in London. Check out the pic online. That's our second Sean Connery.
Yeah.
Crazy. And I did see that picture earlier. He was a mountain of muscle. AJ from the 608 says, hey, P and K, I'm going to say Carl Weathers for sure.
There you go.
We agree with you, AJ. 414 says Terry Crews. Thank you, 414. AJ from the 608 again says Predator is one of the best movies of all time. Change my mind. I mean, look, when I first saw Predator with that, it was like state-of-the-art effects at the time. I thought it was amazing. And yeah, it's kind of corny. I love the scene. There's a scene at the beginning where Arnold Schwarzenegger and Carl Weathers like shake hands and they zoom in on their biceps. Even when I was like 20, I'm like, this is so lame. But when the action kicks in, it's phenomenal. So I would not try to change your mind, AJ. Thank you for the text. We'll get to more of your texts in just a bit. Greg Schwemm is coming up next. I am Pete Schwabe. This is Nightlight. Conrad Riding Shotgun, A Beautiful Night in Downtown Green Bay. We're coming right back on the Civic Media Radio Network.
.7 WMDX, a Mad City state of mind.
There are so many traditions built around the Wisconsin Badgers, game day and the mascot, which in 1889 was a real badger. It didn't go well. Eventually, the animal was replaced by a person. An on-campus contest chose the official mascot name, Buckingham U. Badger. Still, Wisconsin's official animal is a badger. But do you know which animal almost earned this title instead? Gray squirrel? White-tailed deer? Black bear? The answer is coming up. The original badger's nickname is actually associated with lead miners in the state, not the animals. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like badgers, digging tunnels into the hillsides where they worked. So was there almost another state animal? Yes, the white-tailed deer, which later became the official wildlife animal. But the history surrounding the badgers is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Jim Santel, the host of Amicus, a law review on the broadcast stations of Civic Media. Every step you take at the Dane County Walk to End Alzheimer's brings hope to families affected by dementia. Join WMDX on October 5th at Warner Park as we walk to raise funds for care, support, and research. Free registration at alz.org/walk.
Are you looking for ways to give back to your local community? Use volunteerwisconsin.org to find opportunities to volunteer your time with organizations making a difference near you. As we celebrate United Ways Month, we're also celebrating you. Visit volunteerwisconsin.org or get in touch with your local United Way or Volunteer Center to find out more about local opportunities to get involved. Volunteerwisconsin.org is hosted by United Way of Wisconsin and Serve Wisconsin, paid for by United Way of Wisconsin.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Welcome back. I am Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight. I want to give a shout out to my pal, Mike Desitel, who is the one who put me in touch with Mike McGill. And he said, oh, there's a guy from Appleton. He's an actor. And I was like, oh, that's great. And then I looked him up and I'm like, I know Mike McGill. I've seen him in a ton of stuff. So it was great talking to Mike. And thank you, Mike Desitel. Mike's social media comment to our question of the night, who is the best professional athlete turned actor? Mike said, are you waiting for someone to say O.J. Simpson? I thought about O.J. Simpson earlier, and I was going to say it as a joke, but I can't even say him as a joke.
Wasn't he in Naked Gun?
He was in the original Naked Gun, and he was fine. He wasn't great. He was just...
He probably had other things on his mind.
Yeah, no kidding. Daniel Wheeler says, Mike Ditka playing Mike Ditka in Kicking and Screaming.
Yes.
Yeah, he did well, but that's not really a stretch.
It was super funny.
It was. He followed himself around to get in character. Amanda Nimmer, our pal Amanda from here at WGBW, says, John Cena, the man has taken some of the most absurd roles and has become a very versatile actor. And Conrad added a quote that said, Ricky Stenicki is my fave. You guys both are big fans of the Seaman.
I love Ricky Stenicki. It's hilarious.
And Jay Campbell on social media says, Bob Uecker. Great one, Jay. Thank you. We've got some more text line text to get to. We'll get to those in a while. First, I want to bring on my good friend. He is also a syndicated columnist. He writes a column for his own column at Humor Hotel, and you can see his stuff at Tribune Media Services. And he's an all-around swell guy. Mr. Greg Schwem joins us now. Hey, buddy.
Hey, man. Good to see you again, Pete. And you know what? Can I just jump in? I think as far he hasn't really been in movies, but I'm going to go with Peyton Manning as far as just comedic timing. I mean, okay. We always see him as commercials, so But I mean, I don't know why the guy hasn't done more. I mean, Saturday Night Live, I think, was one of the funniest episodes that an athlete hosted.
Interesting. What did you see the one Tom Brady hosted years ago?
Yes.
I thought that was really funny too. When he was in his underwear in the office.
Yes. And, yeah. Yeah. I thought that I thought that they wrote good stuff for Tom Brady to do.
Right.
I think Peyton Manning is just naturally funny. And he's like that. I actually worked a corporate gig with him, and he's also good at improvising. He's
oh, really?
A good off the cuff guy too.
And he yells now, Omaha, Omaha, even when he audibles at a corporate event or
at a corporate event. Yeah, exactly.
That's what they pay for to hear him say that, bro.
Right.
Well, that's cool. Thanks, Greg. I was going to ask you that anyway. So we, how are you? I haven't seen, we haven't talked in a while.
It has been, it's been about 4 months or so. So yeah, it's been a great summer and, loving the Chicago weather, just like I'm sure you're loving the Wisconsin weather.
Oh,
it's
man.
Beautiful right now.
Gorgeous.
You know?
Do you have a sunburn right now? I'm seeing.
I do.
At you on the stream,
I do have
like
a sunburn.
You...
Okay. I am outside an awful lot, and I just got finished with about a 5 mile walk.
Oh my gosh!
Perfect day for that. But I have spent almost the whole summer outside because we may have talked about this before, but I have taken on a side hustle when I'm not on the road doing comedy or. So we're like, I have a corporate gig here in Chicago on Friday. I was in Atlanta last week for a corporate gig, but I give tours of Chicago.
Oh, wow.
I give
cool.
Walking and bike tours. And the weather has been, I've done that most of the summer. Love it. And the weather's just been so great. And I have spent my whole summer outside.
Wow. Well, you got to put some aloe on. That's all I'm saying is get something. I'd hate to see.
Yeah. Maybe
now, when I you should. Give these tours, Greg, are you having to avoid the ICE groups or the military in Chicago? Or
We have not seen the military yet. I get asked questions about that all the time. And I did predict so far correctly that the National Guard would not be coming to Chicago.
Oh,
I started to get
God.
Asked by that. I said, I said, they're not coming, and I don't think they'll be here. ICE is a different story, but
yeah.
The city has been so chill and so accommodating, I think, this summer, and tourism is just booming.
Oh, that's so great.
I don't really quite know where we're getting that, crime cesspool of crime thing.
Well, I know where it's coming
we
from.
We know where we're getting it, but yeah. Yeah. But it ain't happening.
What are your favorite places to go in Chicago, Greg? Like if you're giving tours and you're showing off your city, like what are your favorite spots to show people?
Well, it's interesting because the tours that I give, I mean, are pretty structured. So I work for a company and we have them. So there's three that I give. The one is the most popular one is the one that you would expect when you come to Chicago. Like if you had one day and you would go see Michigan Avenue and the Bean and Millennium Park, and you'd go down State Street and you'd see the Chicago Theater and the Wrigley Building and all that kind of, that kind of stuff, Marina Towers. I give another one. This is on bikes. And this one goes through like five different neighborhoods. It starts down in like Streeterville, where the John Hancock building goes all the way up to Wrigley Field. And we go through several different neighborhoods. We go through Lakeview and Lincoln Park.
Nice.
And I love giving that one because it really gives people a chance to see where Chicagoans live. I always tell my groups, if you've got more than one day, you need to get out into the neighborhoods.
Yeah.
You need to get into Logan Square and Wicker Park and Edgewater, because that's where Chicagoans live. You know, it's like I always tell people, we don't, for the most part, we don't live on Michigan Avenue.
Right.
Just like if you go to New York City, you know, people don't live in Times Square. They live on the Upper West Side and down in the Village and so forth. So I've spent a lot of the summer going to neighborhood festivals. And I love them because they're all like that weekend, the neighborhood, I don't care how much crime there is in the neighborhood or how they always put their best foot forward.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, I'm going to Taste of Cabrini this weekend. That's going to be awesome. And, you know, an Englewood Fest was great.
I would do that too. Like I typically, when I go there now, I do the more touristy things or go to Second City or the zoo or whatever. But yeah, give me a tavern on a corner in a great neighborhood, man. Like that's the stuff
absolutely.
I miss the most.
A BYOB restaurant.
Yeah.
Ethnic restaurant. To me, those are that's city living.
And, all right. I love it. We are coming right back with Greg Schwemm. We're going to tell you about a really cool event he is part of to help raise funds for cancer. That is coming up next after the news. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
WMDX Madison, where the cheese is sharp and the vibes are chill.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 92.7 WMDX.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Reports of multiple police officers shot in York County, Pennsylvania, about an hour outside of Lancaster near the Maryland state line. At least three officers dead, two others hurt. State Police Colonel Christopher Paris.
I can confirm that the shooter is dead.
Law enforcement officials telling ABC News police were serving a warrant when the gunman opened fire. FBI Director Kash Patel back on Capitol Hill today. Lawmakers on both sides of the aisle challenging him to committing to release the Epstein files. And also on the Hill today, the fired head of the CDC testifying about her dismissal. Susan Menares said she was ousted because she rejected pressure to, quote, be on board with forthcoming childhood vaccine recommendations.
I could have kept the office, the title, but I would have lost the one thing that cannot be replaced, my integrity.
It was just what Wall Street was banking on. The Fed cutting its key interest rate by a quarter of a point today and projecting two more cuts before the end of the year. This is ABC News.
The magic number is 7. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers host the LA Angels again tonight. Last night, the crew with a 9-2 win. Christian Yelich, a two-run homer in the fourth. Now, 7 is the Brewers' magic number to clinch the division, but Yelly says it's still too early for all that right now.
Yeah, I mean, we just need to focus on winning that night, like not even thinking about like the magic number. We need to just keep stacking wins and playing good baseball, and that'll take care of itself. You can't do that in one night. And you start looking ahead, then things can get away from you a little bit.
College football, the Badgers, getting ready to host Maryland Saturday at Camp Randall, kickoff 11 a.m. NFL, Packers wide receiver Jaden Reed confirming he's now had surgery to repair his broken collarbone and foot fracture. Meanwhile, Christian Watson says his new contract extension takes some pressure off as he tries to come back from that torn ACL.
For me, I mean, it was really just to, you know, take that pressure off of myself so I can kind of just go out there when I get back and just play free.
That's Packers wide receiver Christian Watson with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. A true Hollywood icon has passed away. Robert Redford died September 16th at his home in Sundance, Utah. Redford was born in Santa Monica, California in 1936. Prior to his acting career, he played college baseball, worked in oil fields in California, and studied painting in Europe. He got his first television role on Alfred Hitchcock Presents, then landed a role on Broadway in Neil Simon's The Way We Were. He would later play opposite Barbara Streisand in the movie version as well. He followed that up with his breakout role in Butch Cassidy and The Sundance Kid opposite Paul Newman. Redford was an accomplished director and producer in addition to his acting talents. His credits included All the President's Men, The Sting, Sneakers, and The Natural. Redford won a slew of awards in his career, including an Oscar for Best Director for the film Ordinary People and an honorary Oscar in 2002 for directing, acting, producing, and founding the Sundance Institute. He was also presented with the Presidential Medal of Freedom from President Barack Obama. Robert Redford was 89 years old. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 92.7 WMDX, Madison's home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, isolated storms tonight, and a low in the low 60s. Partly sunny for tomorrow, still a chance of rain, high in the mid-80s. More storms around Friday, high upper 70s. Rain chances continue into the weekend. Currently at 75 degrees.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Louisiana versus Calais, C-A-L-L-A-I-S, could deal a death blow to the impact, the power, the capacity of the Supreme Court to decide Voting Rights Act cases. This is one of those times when the Supreme Court needs to hear from the public about the appropriate resolution of this major case that could compromise the Voting Rights Act going forward beyond Louisiana.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
The John and Gordy Show.
Pam Yonke. Good morning, Pam. How are you?
Very fine, fellas. Normally, the Department of Agriculture in Madison has got open ears, but man, I am getting, you know, even me, they're giving me pushback. And that crap, frankly, boys, just doesn't happen to me anymore these days. What do you mean you're not going to talk to me? Only got me to talk to.
Weekday mornings, 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'll be joined by retired U.S. Army Special Forces Green Beret Lieutenant Anthony Aguilar. He is a whistleblower. We discuss some of the chaos in Gaza. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Welcome back. Tomorrow night on the show, folks, we make the popcorn pick of the week, like we do every Thursday night at 6:35. And from the Capital Times, Victoria Davis will be making the pick. And then we have Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens joining us to update us on all things sports. That is tomorrow night on Nightlight. Right now, we're going to get back to our guest, Greg Schwemm. He's a syndicated columnist. He writes his own column called The Humor Hotel, and you can check out his work on Tribune Media Services. He has really funny stuff there and insightful as well. And he joins us tonight. We're going to talk about a really cool event he has coming up at Zany's in Chicago. I know we have some Chicago listeners, and we'll ask Greg, what is this? How did this come about, Greg? First of all, tell us what it is. It's for Colorectal Cancer, the Alliance. Tell us what it is.
Yeah, so it's actually at Zany's Rosemont. So it's the bigger of the
rooms.
So
okay.
It's the room right by the O'Hare Airport. So I became a colon cancer survivor in February of 24. I had a cancerous tumor removed. And nice. After that, I got a totally clean bill of health, which was a great thing. And after that, I started to kind of get involved in fundraising and sort of lend my efforts to live events where we were trying to raise money. I co-hosted something called the Blue Hope Bash back in May. And I asked some of the folks who work for the Colorectal Cancer Alliance full time, have you ever had a stand-up comedy event? And they said, no, we've never had one in the whole country, which I found a little bit odd, I guess.
Yeah.
It just seems like such a natural way to raise money. And I said, well, I would like to be the one to organize the very first one. So in Chicago here, there's a WGN-TV. There is a reporter named Mike Lowe. And he had stage 3 colon cancer, and he is doing great as well. But I reached out to him and I said, you know, you're on television and so forth, and would you like to lend your efforts to it? And he said, sure. And then I was doing some jokes in some of my shows about just going through surgery and so forth and trying to find some things to laugh at about. And I was working with a comedian named Jason Cross, who's a Chicago guy. And he said, you know, I've had experience with it too. And I thought, well, okay, we should all just get together. I thought it would be interesting to have everybody on the bill have had a journey, a personal journey. Mm-hmm. And yet we're all fine and we're all healthy and we're all showing that we're willing to laugh at it. So the event is called Laugh Your Ass Off. And all of the money, you know,
how appropriate is that, Greg? Come on.
Exactly. But let's just call it what it is. And all the money that we're raising is going to go to the Colorectal Cancer Alliance. So, so I'm headlining, Jason's featuring, Mike's going to MC, and we just can't wait. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's this coming Sunday, September 21st at 6 PM at Zany's Rosemont. And for your Chicago listeners, for your ones that are even just over the border, come on down. I mean, it's not that far of a trek for people living in southern Wisconsin. And I'm getting so many calls and emails from people who are saying, well, you know, I'm coming because my dad had colon cancer or my mom died of colon cancer.
Oh, wow.
And this would be a great way to help support that. So if you know of somebody who had it, or if it's you know, this is a very common form of cancer. It's the second leading cause of death among cancer patients, but it's also one of the most treatable forms of cancer if it's caught early.
Right.
So it's a little bit of an awareness show as well.
Wow. Well, I wish you luck. I hope you pack the joint. And as Greg mentioned, it's this Sunday, September 21st at 6 p.m. at Zanies in Rosemont. That's a beautiful room, the newest of the Zanies.
I love that room.
Yeah. And everybody talks about how they don't like the downtown room. It only seats like 90 people and you're cramped right. in there. I love it. I love the nostalgia.
Way up on top.
Yeah. But yeah.
Well, you know what that room used to be, right?
Yeah, it was like a was it a strip club or they shoot
strip club.
Pornos
yeah.
there or something
it,
like
it
that?
It was a yeah. strip club. Yeah.
Oh
so
my gosh.
I've always felt that room. So I think you like that room better than me. I've always felt like I was doing well, but not great. You know, like it could turn at any minute.
Yes. Well, third show Saturday, you're counting the minutes to get through that, you know.
But, totally. Well, I always thought for me, the worst show, I think this is true at any comedy club, but particularly like big city clubs. I always think second show Friday.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
Late show Friday. Because here's my theory about late shows on Friday. I always feel like everybody in the audience, none of them planned to be there. You know, the Uber just threw them out in front of the club. Like, right. I've had it with you guys. And they're just like, oh, well, let's go in here.
Right.
You know, on Saturday, you plan your evening.
That's
you
true.
Know, like, we're going to go see comedy on Saturday. You don't know what the hell you're doing on Friday night.
Yeah, Friday you start at happy hour at like 4,
yeah.
and then by
and
10 o'clock
escalates.
You're hammered. Yeah, and, right. and then you find yourself as a heckler. Yeah.
You know, I'm pretty funny.
Right. This is great, Greg. It's called it's for colorectal cancer. It's the Colorectal Cancer Alliance this Sunday. How do people get tickets, Greg?
You know, they can go to the Zanies Rosemont website.
Okay.
That would probably be the best way. You just, you know, if you don't know what that is, just Google Zanies Rosemont. There's a link to tickets out there, and they're $37. And as I said, all the money, I'll be doing a book signing afterwards. All of the money raised does go to, we're all doing this, you know, we are all volunteering our time as we should be. And, all the money is going to go to people who need it, and also just for a cause.
That's great. I know you're a stand-up guy. I didn't think you were pulling like a Krusty the Clown, like folks, those limos don't pay for themselves.
Right.
Greg Schwemm is my guest. Check out his work. He writes the column Humor Hotel. You can see all of his articles at Tribune Media Services. All right, I want to bring this up, Greg, because I thought you said you had an article. It's coming out, so that's a perfect time to plug your column. Greg has an article coming up about the woman who ran over and bullied a father into giving her the foul ball at a Phillies game. And it's we are so polarized. It's so funny how everyone says she's a liberal, she's a conservative. Who she's just out of control, whatever she is.
Right.
And you know, the dad, like, I can't wait to read your article. But what did you think about the incident?
Well, you know, the thing about it is every time, and we've been seeing stuff like this all summer. You know, I mean, there was the U.S. Open tennis where it was signing and the guy grabs the hat and so forth. But there have been a couple of the ball incidents, too. And I guess, and here's why I started thinking about it. I was in Atlanta last week, as I said, and I went to a Cubs-Braves game in Atlanta. And I'm sitting in the left field. They don't call the bleachers out there, but their equivalent of the bleachers. And I'm in the second row, and there's a guy in front of me. So he's in the first row. This is a fully grown adult, and he's got a glove. He's got a baseball glove. And so I said to him, I go, okay. I go, because I like to talk to everybody around me. And I go, if you get a ball, because he's obviously ready for one.
Right.
I go, what are you going to do with it? He goes, I'm going to give it to a kid. And I go, exactly. Which I think is pretty big of him to have the glove. I thought when I saw the guy with the glove, he didn't strike me as somebody who would give a ball away. You know, it's like if you bring a glove to a game, you're there.
It's just a baseball nerd. Yeah.
Yeah. But think about it, Pete. If you're 9 years old and you get a ball from a game, you're going to bring it to school the next day.
Yeah.
You're going to sleep with it. You're going to let every kid touch it and grip it. You're going to do the same thing. And you're going to be like the king of the school. And that's great. But if you're an adult, okay, if you're a fully grown adult, what are you going to do with a baseball, unless it's like Mark McGuire's 70th home run?
Right.
You know, are you going to like bring it to a party and like, hey, everybody look what I got. And, you know, and like the host is going to look at you like, I was kind of hoping you'd bring a vegetable tray, but yeah,
right.
Thanks for bringing the baseball. We seriously, what is she going to do with a foul ball?
Well, and she didn't get it. I'm sorry,
no.
You didn't get there first. That's kind of how the whole thing works. It's like saying, well, you know, I really meant to win the lottery. I just didn't.
Right. Yeah, well, I was planning to go. I was right behind the guy in the grocery, in the gas
right.
that got the winning ticket. I agree.
Oh, that.
So, but yeah, I just, it's like, seriously, what is she going to do with that baseball?
Right.
If she got it, is she going to take it home? You know, is she going to mount it? Is she going to frame it? Is she going to, is she going to look at it every night before she goes to sleep? At what point do things like that stop having value? What point in your adult life?
I know. And I don't know how, like, everybody's judging her. She's going to go into work and people are like, oh, morning.
Yeah,
like
you.
Yeah, exactly. Like if she just came out and said, you know, in the heat of the moment, I messed up. I'm sorry. Here's the ball. People would probably go, right. Okay, I could see that, yeah, you know,
that's
but
the way to go.
Yeah. Hey,
I would definitely, I would give a ball to a kid. I would look around.
Oh, yeah.
I grabbed it. And who knows? I might, you know, I might be with all these other people grabbing for the ball. But if I did come up with it,
right,
I would immediately go around. And at the Braves Cubs game, there was a kid sitting like three with his parents. He was probably like four sitting with his parents. And I would have loved to have just said, hey, buddy, take that. Have a great evening, you know?
Don't you almost hope you get that opportunity? Like
I do,
you know,
I do. I want that to happen.
I want to be a hero. Damn it.
Yes.
Hey, you also, like I did not, this is one of the articles I didn't get to read, but you said you had a take on the Kiss cam at the Coldplay concert. Tell me what that was. And I got to find the article.
I said the article was advice from the Coldplay Kiss cam guy, from a guy who's never, ever been there. Type of thing. So I think, you know, I basically said that this guy should start like his own business for people who the same thing, like how not for this to happen and what you should do if it does. Because, you know, there's been books written about people who've been shamed on the internet,
right,
by people who have been shamed on the internet. And I thought, this guy, it's like, you know, you've got to turn this into a positive some way.
Right.
And I gave a bunch of advice for the guy, but it was, you know, that came out. That was another thing. Bad stadium behavior, you know.
Right.
That's what I said. That's what I said. They were I'm trying to remember how I worded it in the baseball column. But, you know, they were behaving badly, or in the case of the Kiss cam guy, unfaithfully. That was his thing.
You know, it's one of those things where I'm like, God, if he had just like put his head into the back of her hair to hide his face, like instead of making a big production. And when did it become this, Greg? Like what, like obviously, okay, they're fooling around. That's not cool. I get it. But he has to resign. The company says, oh, we're better than that. No. Listen, this happens everywhere. If somebody can get big, big savings, they don't give a damn what the CEO is doing at that company.
I agree. As long as the stock price keeps going up. Yes. Yeah, who cares?
I know.
I agree. I agree. It's the knee-jerk reaction we have sometimes when something is just out of control.
We hate that guy and that girl. Yeah, right. Like, okay.
We hate that guy that we all work for that gave us good lives.
Bit of an escalation.
And great Christmas bonuses. That guy's a jerk.
Greg, we have about a minute left. Do you have any other live dates coming up or anything you want to pitch or your book?
Let's see.
Where we can see the book.
Yeah, the book is the book, which I'm going to be signing copies of at the colon cancer benefit. So the book it's actually been out about a year now, but people keep buying it, and I like that. So it's my latest book is Turning Gut Punches into Punchlines: A Comedian's Journey Through Cancer, Divorce, and Other Hilarious Stuff.
Oh my gosh!
And it's been it was fun to write. It wasn't easy to write, but it was fun to write, and people are. I get emails every now and then from people saying, I really enjoyed your book and it helped me a lot. So you can get that on Amazon.
Well, right now I'm more worried about the sunburn, even though you've been through a lot.
Yeah,
so take care of that.
I'm starting to get worried about it too. I just want to keep this glow all the way through February.
Aloe up and we'll have you back on soon, buddy. Great talking to you. Have a great night, Greg.
All right.
All right. Check out the event at Zany's on Sunday night. We'll recap that when we come back. It's Pete Schwabit and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. Stroke risk may increase. Eliquis can cause serious and potentially fatal bleeding. Don't take if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or bleed longer. A spinal injection increases blood clot risk, which may cause paralysis. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding or bruising, or back pain, tingling, numbness, muscle weakness, or incontinence. Aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
More fiber and laxatives, eh?
Who are you?
I'm future you.
Future me?
Constipation with belly pain still coming back? Our doctor figured it out. It's irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. And Linzess could help you get ahead of it.
Linzess linaclotide is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
Does Trump's big bill end taxes on tips and overtime? No. President Donald Trump's new law exempts certain tip and overtime income from federal tax, but the deductions expire in 2028 and come with limits. Workers earning under $150,000 can deduct up to $25,000 in tips and $12,500 in overtime. Social Security, Medicare, and state taxes still apply. The Tax Policy Center says 2% of households will benefit from the tip provision, saving $1,800. The White House estimates $1,400 in average annual savings from the overtime deduction. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwabe. This is Nightlight. We are winding down this Wednesday. Conrad, do you know who Eric Andrews is?
That I don't. Is that?
We've got 414 here says, Eric Andrews, he was White Chicks, Everybody Hates Chris, Friday After Next. Oh, is she talking about Terry Crews?
I think Eric Andrews might be the person's name. Because Terry Crews was in the
it's the same
White
phone
Chicks.
Number.
Everybody hates Chris.
All right, that makes it. Sometimes these texts get so crazy. They get discombobulated. We need Dan Schaefer to come here and recombobulate.
Yeah,
our
I
text.
Think so.
Look at the stream; it's flipping out. Unless that's a thing you're doing.
I'm not doing anything. I think it's on your side.
It's a crazy ghost chair. Conrad's mom checks in and says, "Terry Crews, another one for Terry Crews. He's doing a great job as the host of America's Got Talent." Thank you, Paula.
My favorite thing that he's done is Brooklyn Nine-Nine. He's so funny in that.
He is funny. He was the guy in the Old Spice commercials too, right?
Yes.
Power. Was that him?
Yeah, maybe. Honestly, I don't remember that part.
Monica from Mount Horeb in the 608 says, don't remember if you said professional or just athlete. Had to look it up, but Jason Statham was an Olympic diver. Okay. I think... Mike, I thought, said he was a swimmer, but she says, I'm a bit obsessed with him. That's okay, Monica. We all have our showbiz crushes.
Yeah.
John Murray in Madison says, OJ, damn the luck. He hurt my heart when stuff hit the fan. Yeah, that was, I mean,
it more than just a fan.
It was just an awful thing in American history. John said he was good and it seemed unlikely, but respectable cameo performances by terrifying linebacker for the Bears, Dick Butkus, were always fun. And that's true. A cameo, he was good, but I remember he was like in stuff and I was like, come on. John also says there was a special feeling you would get when he acted in a civilized manner. Dick Butkus, I think he still, oh, John's a Dick Butkus fan. Dick Butkus used to be the color guy on the Bear broadcasts and all he would do was go, ah, come on. Get him! It's like, okay, thank you for the insights.
I think that's how I'd be if I was on the Packers Network.
Steady Eddie in the 608 says, Pete, two best athletes turned actors, Dick Pigskin Wilson, all-pro middle linebacker for the Detroit Lions in the 1950s, who later played Mr. Whipple, the Please Don't Squeeze the Charmin guy. Did we just do this with Steady Eddie? He says, I lied. Yeah. Is this an old text or is he plagiarizing himself?
Just keep going.
All right. He says, I lied. Dick Wilson never played football, but he certainly could squeeze the Charmin with the best of them. That's what she said. Honorable mention. This one is somewhat true. Pete Big Dunker Schwabba. I almost made a very serious reading error there. Pete Big Dunker Schwabba, legendary playground pickup basketballer who would later go on to direct, produce, and star in the acclaimed movie The Godfather of Green Bay. Note, nickname Big Dunker relates more to Pete's prowess with a chocolate donut and a cup of joe than his basketball abilities. Steady Eddie knows me well. They honor and celebrate Mr. Schwabba at Dunkin' Donuts every time he walks through the door. Wouldn't that be cool?
That's if you get a free cup of joe and a free chocolate donut every time you walked in, that's a pretty sweet deal.
That's a great deal. Eddie, let's start something there. Steady Eddie. Great text. Steady Eddie brought it tonight for sure. All right, so this is weird. I'm not going to say anything before I know what happened, but Jimmy Kimmel has been fired?
Yes. The show is off air now.
Getting out of hand. All right, I'm going to save my judgment until I know the full facts, but we do have a clip.
Yes.
I'm going to let you set this up because I haven't seen this yet.
Well, I was looking for some clips, today, of like actors that, or athletes that did some bad acting, and a lot of it was Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah, it's pretty
and
bad.
And this clip came up, and I thought it was hilarious. And it's Gary Oldman on Jimmy Kimmel Live. And I think that's all I have to set up. It's all great. Right.
Sweet.
If we've learned anything from Shaq, it's that when an NBA player acts, it doesn't usually turn out well. But now, finally, someone is doing something about it.
Hi, I'm Gary Oldman, actor. Some of you may know me from such films as Dracula, Air Force One, and Kung Fu Panda 2. I just as a professional basketball player, spends hours on the court, mastering every aspect of his game. I, Gary Oldman, studied acting for many years to perfect my craft. And just as I, Gary Oldman, actor, would never try and join an NBA team just because I'm famous, I, Gary Oldman, would very much appreciate it if professional basketball players would stay the out of movies! Who the hell told you you could act? The director on your Powerade commercial? You're not actors! Some of you can't even speak English! You suck! Get it? You suck!
See how I did that?
Who
that's
told
good
you?
Acting.
Who told
did you?
You
feel
your
emotion?
Great.
I can do that. You can.
The director of your Powerade commercial. Oh,
it's so funny.
Gorgeous. When was that? How old
that
was
that? That was 2012.
Oh, man, that's funny.
And, no one listened to Gary Oldman.
You know what would be funny, though, is if, like, I think it would be funny if Gary Oldman tried to play basketball. That would probably be funnier because the professional athlete acting would just kind of be like, oh, come on, seriously, you're wasting my time. But him doing basketball would be funny.
You know, at the end of the clip, he shot a basketball and shot it over the backboard.
Did he really? Oh, that's very funny. What was the clip we played of him where they kept adding the fart noise? Oh, that was Colbert.
Yeah, yeah.
Interviewing him, and he said, because they were talking about him on Slow Horses where his character is kind of just this... grotesque guy who farts and doesn't really wash. And Gary Oldman is a great sense of humor. He was laughing hysterically. All right, folks, coming up, we have a great picture tonight. Window Love, nice couple. Not a Kiss Cam couple.
Go like it on Facebook.
Go like it on Facebook. Just like us on Facebook. We like to be liked. Coming up tomorrow night is Victoria Davis will be here making the Popcorn Pick of the Week, where we give you a movie pick that you can watch over the weekend. And Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens will be here in studio. I am jazzed about that. It'll be good to see Mike in person. And we'll do all that tomorrow night. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, we'd like to thank our guests, Mike McGill and Greg Schwemm. We'll be back tomorrow night. Good night, Wisconsin.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Dave Macker. A shooting in York County, Pennsylvania. Police say three officers who were trying to serve a warrant are dead. Two more are critical. The shooter's dead.
Dave Miller lives across the street.
I heard the gunshots, many, many gunshots, and I saw an officer go down on the road.
Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro joining authorities.
We grieve for the loss of life, for three precious souls who served this county, serve this Commonwealth, and serve this country.
ABC's Whit Johnson. Susan Manera is the former CDC director who was fired by HHS Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. testifying on Capitol Hill today, saying she was sacked because she wouldn't pre-approve vaccine recommendations without scientific evidence. Thousands of Palestinians fleeing Gaza City as the IDF continues its operations targeting Hamas. As expected, the Federal Reserve cutting interest rates a quarter of a percentage point. This is ABC News. Tropical storm.